Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Something extraordinary happened at the MacArthur Memorial that should give you and I pause and cause us to have some consecrated consideration as to how you and I treat one another. This is Wretched Radio. Saturday, Grace Community Church, Dr. John MacArthur was memorialized for give or take 2 hours and 45 minutes. And predictably, it was spectacular. Predictably, it was excellent. Even the order of service that they distributed, just seriously thick paper, gloriously done, pictures of Dr. John MacArthur. And in the back, isn't this just like John MacArthur? A booklet for every guest about finishing well. Why? Because he wants you to finish well. Everything was done with excellence. The flowers, the music, the Gettys led the worship, the amazing orchestra, about 120-person choir. It was absolutely spectacular and first class, which we simply come to expect from Grace to You and Grace Community Church and all of the ministries of Dr. John MacArthur. But there's something that I think many people didn't expect. There were two individuals who participated in the memorial service that I think a lot of people are scratching their heads over and saying, I'm a wee bit confused. And I would like for us to perhaps use this critical moment in the history of conservative circles to consider ecumenism. You say, what exactly is the ecumenism? It is being able to not just coexist, but to love brothers and sisters with whom we have non-essential disagreements. It can be secondary, tertiary. It just can't be essential. If somebody believes that Buddha is the fourth member of the quadrinity, then that's a problem and we can't have fellowship with you. But there are individuals with whom we can disagree and still have fellowship. Before I share who these two individuals are who participated in the service, please note, they didn't merely attend, they actually participated in the service, which means that Dr. John MacArthur and the MacArthur family invited them. They didn't rush the stage. They didn't just take over the microphone. They were invited. And before I share with you who those two men are, let me ask you one at a time what your thought is about our first individual. Where does the conservative community stand with this man? You're going to recognize his voice.
And so it is that because he became, in your providence, something of the embodiment of Bunyan's great heart, he has been to us a strength when we have often wondered. He has been to us encouragement when we have been tempted to falter. He has been to us a voice in the midst of a confusing world, bringing clarity to our hearts and to our minds.
What was Alistair Begg doing at the John MacArthur Memorial? Were you perhaps under the impression that there was a division amongst friends? Because perhaps they no longer spoke at the same conferences. But did you know that Dr. John MacArthur and Alistair Begg were always friends? They never stopped being friends. They talked behind the scenes. They consulted with one another on different issues, mostly ecclesiological, I suspect. In other words, perhaps the impression that you and I have as to the unity of some of the giants of the faith that perhaps we thought was shattered and destroyed because they were no longer doing things together publicly, maybe needs to be reconsidered. Maybe we need to rethink some of our relationships and some of our associations. May I ask, did you think that there was a divorce between John MacArthur and Alistair Begg? It would be easy to conclude that. I think many have. But at the memorial service, when everybody read their high-quality order of service booklet, Alistair Begg is going to be participating and leading the prayer. And it was a six-minute beauty, by the way. It should have caused all of us to say, hey, wait a second. I know there was a kerfuffle, but was it really one that caused actual division? Now, we need to remember there are times when we can't do things with others simply because it doesn't make sense. Here's an example I think that we can all swim in and grasp. A Presbyterian attending a Baptist church, can they love one another? Yeah. Can they fellowship with one another? Yeah. Could they even take communion together? Yeah. Should they both be members of the same church? It's going to be a little hard. Doesn't mean they hate each other. It doesn't mean that there's division. It just means practically, that's just not going to work. You know, the whole paedo baptism and believer's baptism, covenantalism, maybe eschatology, it would just maybe be too difficult to do that together. Ditto, perhaps, when it comes to conferences and events. Just doesn't make sense for whatever reason, but that doesn't mean there isn't unity and fellowship. And so my question to you, to myself, is how am I going to, from here, see those with whom there was a perception that there was a division? And is it possible that maybe we have drawn lines? Now, I'm not saying on issues, when we have disagreements, we draw lines. But there's lines of disagreement and there's lines of division. There's lines of separation. There's lines of, I can't fellowship with you, implying, I think you got some essential doctrine problems. And so my challenge to you, as it is to myself, is to ask, should we maybe use the John MacArthur Memorial as a reset? Perhaps this is the time for conservatives to just step back, take a breath, and consider, did I maybe, possibly, cut somebody out of my life that didn't need to be removed? That maybe doesn't make sense. It is even possible that you don't want to read or listen to them anymore because of whatever the issue is. But it's not because they've violated an essential doctrine. It's not because that they have committed such a theological crime against a cardinal doctrine that we can no longer say, that's my brother. I know that there will be those who immediately will jump on a diatribe like this and say, sell out, that giving in. Getting squishy, maybe just sentimental from the memorial service and feeling all ecumenically ooey gooey. I don't think so. Regardless, despite that critique, maybe to those who might come to that conclusion, and you have every right to do so, maybe I would encourage you more than even the rest of us to think these things through slower, more thoughtfully, being Bereans who consider theological triage, that there's levels of disagreement, but maybe we don't need to act like the cancer culture that devours one another in secular society. that we can be those who disagree, non-essential issues, love one another, and certainly don't trash one another. That we don't eviscerate somebody simply because, that's not the way that I see it, or that's not the way that I would do it. Dr. John MacArthur invited Alistair Begg to participate in his memorial service. I think it's safe to conclude those guys hadn't divided. They hadn't excommunicated one another. They actually loved one another. And maybe, just maybe, to honor the legacy of their friendship, maybe we can go back to having some friendships that we've personally severed when it simply wasn't necessary. But there's another man who appeared at the MacArthur Memorial who should also give us earnest pause. Next on Wretched Radio.
So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is amazing how two hearts can be knit together by a common taste for this honey. It's amazing how two hearts can be knit together by a common greediness for this treasure that is more precious than gold.
What in the world was Dr. John Piper doing at the Dr. John MacArthur Memorial? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio. It was Saturday. It was beautiful. It smelled good. The flowers, they were everywhere. The orchestra, the choir, just the organization of the entire massive John MacArthur Memorial event was done masterfully, as we would expect from Grace Community Church. What we didn't expect was to hear this man deliver a 16-minute eulogy for somebody with whom he claims his heart was knit together, sharing a passion for the Word of God, sharing a passion for preaching. John Piper made the claim that he and John MacArthur were knit together and loved one another. May I ask you a question? Were you under the impression that it is currently forbidden to perhaps appreciate, benefit from the ministry of John Piper because these two men were no longer platforming together? Just asking, was that your take? Is that the sense that you got? Because over the last 7 years, actually, I would say, when CRT hit, when the whole woke business hit not just our culture, but also hit the church, that is when we started to see a lot of divisions. And we thought that they were to the level of these people are no longer in the cap. Perhaps we would have given a concession. Well, maybe they're safe, but they aren't amongst us. Now, let's recognize that there are people that are saved that will never do a conference with, and probably never read some of their stuff. But we're talking about Dr. John Piper. Do I have disagreements with Dr. John Piper? Yeah, I do. And last time I heard, he believes in an old earth, the sail hammer position. I don't. I believe that God created it 6 24-hour days, not all that long, thousands of years ago. All right, there's the difference. So I have disagreements with Dr. John Piper. But maybe you were under the impression that the disagreements were so deep that they demanded division, that they were so profound, they were on the level of cardinal doctrine that we can no longer even quote the fellow. Maybe you're a pastor and you've struggled over this. You read a quote from John Piper and you go, wow, that was really good stuff, but better not use it because that would look like an endorsement of John Piper. What you saw at the MacArthur Memorial was an endorsement of John Piper. It's what you saw. It's undeniable. Same thing is true with Alistair Begg. That was an endorsement of those men. You don't invite somebody to participate in your funeral if you think that they're heretics or you think that they simply can contribute nothing to the kingdom and that we can never benefit from them. You wouldn't. Do you know how many choices the MacArthur family had to determine who was going to participate in this memorial service? They could have so many in-house guys. They didn't choose anybody, though, from Master Seminary, Grace to You. I would have personally loved to hear Phil Johnson speak. Would have loved to hear his anecdotes and his praise of a man who was faithful for 56 years. But he didn't participate in the service. John Piper did. Alistair Begg did. By invitation. Y'all, that's got to give us pause. That has to. If we miss this opportunity to just take a breath and just say, okay, we've had a little distance now. We've had a little space. Is it possible that maybe, just maybe, we don't have to at least have the same attitude we once did toward individuals who simply no longer platformed together? Were you also surprised when Ligon Duncan appeared at the Puritan conference that Joel Beakey organized that was presented at Grace Community Church? Because Ligon Duncan, he hasn't spoken on any sort of platform with John MacArthur in a number of years. And then he shows up and he preaches from the very pulpit where John MacArthur preached for 56 years. Did that perplex you? Did you know that Dr. John MacArthur and Mark Dever spoke on the phone regularly? Mark told me monthly. I just saw Mark being interviewed about John MacArthur. And he said they spoke, quote, I think he said all the time. Did you know that? That was happening behind the scenes? It's now public. And if we don't just stop and pause and take a minute and ask ourselves the question, hey, maybe the fracturing that has caused so many separations of friends, that has robbed us of the blessing of men who are stout and sound and stellar, that perhaps this could be the beginning of a healing? Perhaps Dr. John MacArthur has left us a gift, a challenge. This was so unexpected. This wasn't what anybody was ready. It's like, wait, what? We were under a different impression. And now it has been made very clear that the division that perhaps we thought existed didn't. You know, right? They didn't platform together. Okay. But that doesn't mean that their hearts weren't knit together. Wouldn't it be a shame if critical race theory won and had the last say? As the last 5 years, as we've been trying to keep CRT out of the church, which we absolutely must do, that it has succeeded in what it sets out to do, and that is to cause division and pit people against one another, to deconstruct every realm of society in order to rebuild it in the image of Antonio Gramsci and Karl Marx and the French postmodern philosophers. It's designed to divide. And I fear it succeeded. And I don't want to let CRT win. I don't want to get squishy. I don't want to join the Russell Moore and David French camp. That's for sure. But I maybe need to be slower, more thoughtful, ponderous, prayerful, contemplative about whether or not I am willing to cut somebody off before I'm willing to say, they're out of here, because they're not. I had a chance before the memorial to speak with Alistair Begg. He's a winsome fellow. He's a very jovial guy. And I said to Al, just want you to know, after the kerfuffle, just want you to know, I disagree with you. And Al Begg said, you know what? I don't know if I, this is my Al Begg impression. I don't know if I agree with me either. And I immediately responded and said, that's the first step to the road to recovery, Al. And we chuckled and we laughed and we enjoyed one another's company. Maybe, just maybe, Dr. John MacArthur, maybe, was telling us it's time for us to enjoy one another's company again. Maybe it's time for us to rethink some issues. You have to do that for you. I have to do that for me. And I know there are going to be some who immediately say, sell out! There we go. We lost another one. Okay. I don't think that's what's happening here. I'm not pulling this diatribe out of thin air. I'm responding to what I saw and heard at the MacArthur Memorial, that individuals I think most of us thought were no longer friends actually were profound friends whose hearts were knit together, who loved one another. So this isn't my mere musing. This is observing what happened, thinking it through on a really long airplane ride back from Los Angeles, and causing myself to be confronted with what I saw and ask the question that I will simply ask of you as well as myself. Is it time for a fresh start and a new beginning of relationships among conservatives? Is it a time for healing? This is Wretched Radio.